Sweet. All right, what's up, Warriors fans? Welcome back to another episode of One Take, the official podcast of the One New Zealand Warriors, brought to you as always by the TAB NZ. So if you are having a flutter on rugby league this weekend, make sure you download their app or head along to their website, www.tab.co.nz. As always, it's 18 plus and please gamble responsibly. We're mixing it up a little this week. Normally it's a Monday morning water cooler type of chat with Monty Beetham, but we've rolled it out on a Tuesday and we've gone with another Warrior. Warrior number 273, Braden Williame. How's things, bro?
Hey, thanks heaps for having me. Yeah, everything's all good. I think the last time we talked was about a year ago. That's a bit's changed for me. Now retired. It's a big change, but one I'm enjoying for sure.
Let's dive into that a little, bro. Was it a tough decision to make? Obviously, you were battling with a few injuries, but it's never easy to call time on your playing career, is it?
Yeah. To be honest, it wasn't tough.
Gotcha.
Talking with my wife, even a couple seasons ago, I've been riddled with injuries for the last 3 years. So it was there or thereabouts. But I think what sort of nailed it into the coffin was I was 18th man for Parramatta game. So I had to play 40 minutes of cup beforehand. Then I went and sat on the bench for 18th man. But my body was gone. I said to Webby after the game, I was like, if there was two concussions, I wouldn't be able to do the job for the boys. From there, we sort of came to the agreement, try and find something for after footy. And I made the decision.
And 14-year career, that's pretty impressive. Have you had time to put up your feet in the off-season, maybe a bit of reflection?
Yeah, well, probably on top of that, my last game for Cup, I broke my ankle, so plenty of time to put the feet up.
Yeah.
Just coming back from that now with my new role, so... it's definitely a big change, but one that I'm really enjoying and super thankful for the Warriors to be able to help me with that transition. It's been really good.
For sure. Let's talk about that new role, because obviously you're still heavily involved in the club. What are you up to these days?
Yeah, so a part of the wellbeing team now. They've brought in a new initiative, so every team from under 16s upwards has their own wellbeing manager, which is really good. And then I'm also the assistant coach of New South Wales Cup as well. So it's a big change. I never thought I'd go into coaching after footy, but it's something that over the last 3 months, it's really grown on me and I'm starting to love it.
Quite often you hear like players talk about that transition into life after footy and just how much they miss kind of that locker room and they struggle to adjust a little bit. Has it kind of helped you still being involved in the game? You're obviously still in the locker room and whatnot. Has that made that transition a bit easier?
Massively, massively. I was actually having this conversation with someone the other day. I was like, I'd be lost if I had to go into a whole new workforce and try to figure things out that way. But for me now, like I can go and chill with the boys whenever I want. I'm still around every day. And then on the other side too, like now I get to sit in the coaches' meetings with the NRL coaches and see how they, the amount of planning that goes into every single training session, let alone game, the ins and outs of with all that, it's been really cool and I'm learning heaps.
And is professional coaching an avenue that you want to chase a little bit more? And did you think you'd ever kind of jump into that world?
No, I didn't. But like I got to give a massive shout out to Tangles, our New South Wales head coach. Like he's sort of just thrown me in there and taught me heaps in the last 3 months that I've been with him. It definitely wasn't something that I had any interest in, and probably to be fair, being a head coach isn't anything, but assistant coach maybe down the track. But there's still a lot to learn. I'm just more so enjoying that challenge that comes with being a coach. So it's one thing understanding. The footy environment as a player, like you just got to know your role and do that really well. Now I got to communicate it to the boys so that they can understand what they got to do on the field. And there is a big difference in the two. So, like I said, I'm really enjoying it at the moment. And I'm really enjoying the wellbeing part as well.
Yeah.
Like for me, long-term, I see the crossover between the two, between wellbeing and coaching. So, where that takes me in 5-10 years, I don't know, but, for now, I'm really enjoying where I'm at.
Is that wellbeing space something you've kind of always been passionate about? Because, you played the game for a long time. You've had some strong experiences. You're a good shoulder to turn to for some of these younger guys, especially.
Yeah. So it's funny. Whenever I talk to any of the boys, it's a lot around what not to do, because I've messed up a fair bit in early on in my career. So wellbeing's always naturally come. It's always come natural to me. it wasn't something until the last couple of years that I considered a career path after footy, but it's a growing space for sure. And I think the best example is the club now having one for each team. I'm sure I was talking to Folletti the other day. He's managing at the West Tigers everyone from their juniors all the way up to NRL. So, you know, that's near impossible to do. So, in a growing space, who knows where wellbeing will be in like I said, 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, for sure. And you've still been pulling on the boots as well on the weekends and wearing the blue. Bob, tell us a bit about that role, bro, because I think people see it popping up on your TV screens. You can't help but notice you guys out there. But then it's also a really important role as well, isn't it? Passing on messages and things like that.
Yeah. So I was talking to the boys. I was like, I was more nervous to run blue shirt than I ever was to play the game.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that's a reflection of how serious I took the game so just the things I'd heard about running blue shirt, obviously the coach up in the box sending you the messages. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm going, I need to repeat Tangles word for word so the boys get and I don't mess up my job, otherwise I'll lose the game
for them.
In reality, I got out there, the boys have already had their conversation. I'll give one or two words to sort of drill in what they're talking about, but it was a really cool experience. Definitely a different view of the game now that I'm coaching. And it is a big difference, like trying to watch the NRL games even now from a coach's hat, not a fan.
Yeah.
You know, seeing Dallin score those crazy tries, more looking at the lead up to how we got there. Like I said, this has been a pretty cool transition for me, and one that I'm super grateful for, because I know this transition piece can be really hard for a lot of retired players, but I got to consider myself pretty lucky.
I heard there's a bit of competition amongst the blue shirters in the club, a bit of banter going on. I think Slade's been barking a little that his numbers are a bit more impressive than yours.
No, it's not actually Slade that's barking. It's more the outside staff that come into me going, "Well, geez, Slade's moving pretty quick at blue shirt."
He does go pretty hard though. You see him on the screen.
He has to, because I think the rules are a lot more strict for NRL than it is for me.
Yeah.
So if anyone ever watches me running blue shirt, I'm near walking off the field when I go and grab the tees. But bit of backstory, sorry. Me and Slade lived together for 3 years in under 20s.
There we go.
When we're in Melbourne. So I know how competitive he is.
Yeah.
And now all these little whispers are going around the club. I'm like, all right, I'm calling you out. Let's put a GPS on. Let's see who moves the most and who moves the quickest. and then, you know, bragging rights for me old roomie.
Yeah, surely a few coffees on the line for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have a feeling that I'm going to lose though. I just know how competitive that
is. Yeah, he is competitive. And like I said before, you notice him during the games. He's moving. He's into everything. So you mentioned before Dallin scoring some great tries. Let's rip the Band-Aid off and talk about that Storm game. And we'll start with that finish, Xavier Coates. Is that one of the most impressive finishes you've ever seen?
That's I was in disbelief. It was like you got that moment of heart being broken out, ripped out like the last 30 seconds, but also you got to celebrate what a try that was. Like I messaged Marcelo after the game, I was like, far out, I'm so sorry for the loss. And then I was like, is it too soon? ... Rugby league's the winner here.
Yeah.
Big and it is, bro. That stuff is crazy to see, and it's only going to do great things for our sport. But you know, bias side was like, far out, because technically we did nothing wrong.
No.
in the way that we defended that. That bloke just is 7 foot tall, and he jumped about 7 meters out.
Literally.
It was a hard one to take, but like I said, it was a freaky effort from the kid.
Yeah, watching it live, you're like, I need to see replay. There's no way he pulled that off. And we're so used to seeing Dallin do it to opposition teams, but the standard of the finishing now, like, it's pretty crazy. Do these guys practice that pretty regularly? Because it's almost not become expected, but you kind of see something like the way it could play out now, and you do semi-expect them to finish tries like that.
Yeah. Well, we got a little hint of it before a few tries earlier when Dallin did one in that right corner, but... to answer your question, they do practice it, and they have to, because it's an important part of the game at the moment, and we're seeing the results of that. Like to finish that try,
like
that's hands down going to be, I don't know if there's any try that's similar. I can remember a Nathan Ross one a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
Just jumping like the acrobats in it, but yeah, it's freaky stuff and it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, for me, I think that that and Dallin's one against the Raiders last year when he put that kick down, that's got to be top two finishes for me. So it adds another entertainment factor as well. So
Dal's got to be up there with the most consistent tries that
big like, time.
He does that nearly every week. So yeah, just the context of the game, like for him to get the match winner against us, it hurts, but. It was good footy.
It was a pretty strong performance from the lads as well, especially in that second 40 minutes, or you could say the back 50 minutes when we really turned it on, to be able to score that many points against the side who held the defending champs scoreless the week before.
Yep.
Thought our attack shape and structure looked really strong there. What were the kind of the main standouts for you from that game?
I think our goal line attack is from I'm not an outsider, but it just watching it, it's good to watch and it's hard to stop. So for me, training against that all last year, I know how difficult when they get that right, how difficult it is to defend. And it's just good to see sort of the results paying dividends because Sean is just, it looks like everything's slowing down for him at the moment. He's making all the right decisions and it's credit to him, bro. He had a big season last year and he's sort of kicked off where he left off.
Yeah, because it's a similar attacking shape to last year. And no doubt teams slow it down all week. But is it just one of those things like you know what it's going to be, but when executed perfectly, you just can't stop it? Because there's so many different little variations, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I think back end of last year, we were hitting when we were running that double line, we were hitting Rocco on that line a lot more. And then early on this year, we're hitting out the back. I'm not sure I can remember any that we were hitting out the back last year. But yeah, it's the same shape, exact same shape, but the word was from pre-season, like we're going to do the exact same thing, but do it better. So it's a credit to the boys. We just need to put that 80-minute performance in to get that dub. But, you know, back at home this week, Christchurch, big game, get that concert-like feeling that we had round one. And I'm sure the boys will get the job done.
Wanted to touch on the performances of a few lads through the first 2 weeks and some of them you know pretty well as well. Tane, he's obviously got his opportunity in the one jersey and I think people got glimpses of him last year, but now back-to-back weeks through the injury with Chance, he's really been able to make that jersey his own. Tell us a bit about him as a person and as a player because he's so powerful, he's so fearless and he's made every post a winner so far.
Yeah, Tane, I got so much time for that, brother. Just knowing a bit of his backstory, he's very, very easygoing dude. Probably didn't take footy that serious coming through the ranks, but was given a chance by Webby last year and geez, hasn't he made the most of it? Because I think he showed that he's definitely a first grader. For him now, it's just like continuing that on is like the thing with us at the moment is like we're spoiled for depth in all our positions. So if he just keeps up turning, putting in those performances, I'm sure Webby will find a spot for him because he's got freaky talent and it's sort of game changer type of stuff. So, I'm really happy for the bro. He's doing really good.
Jumping to the centres, a position you know really well, Rocco, a player who really established himself towards that back end of last year and then carried on this year, and he's locked down that number three jersey. And I think now fans and wider NRL fans are starting to see what the club has always seen for a very long time. How impressed have you been with Rocco and what kind of developments have you seen in his game?
Yeah, I think people tend to forget how young Rocco is as well.
And inexperienced in the game, right?
Yeah, because he debuted so young, it's very easy to be critical of young fellas in a struggling team. I got so much time for Rocco as well, and I think very highly of him. I don't think he's too far off a Kiwi jersey, and I don't mean that to put pressure on him. I just that's how highly I think of him. He's doing all the right things. His tough carries is probably a highlight of his at the moment. And his just understanding of the game, that right edge, the things that it's doing at the moment, it's pretty special. And like I said about the age, there's plenty more footy in him as well. So it's pretty cool to see, and I'm happy for him.
Jumping over to the other side, and Roger returns, our Dally M winner. It's pretty unreal to have someone like that with just pure ability and strike power out in that back line. One-on-one, like defensively, the opposition has to keep eyes and put bodies on him, opens up opportunities for others. But I think we saw against the Storm, early ball with that footwork of his, it's pretty lethal, right?
Yeah, and I think we knew that the whole time when he was coming, no matter where he was put, where he ends up playing in attack, wasn't going to be a problem, sorry. I think defensively has been the most impressive thing for Roger. Like in my head, thinking about it, I was like, maybe they start him on a wing and then work his way back in just to get a feel for NRL rugby league again. But Roger being the competitor he is, you've seen him in the first trial, it's like, nah, he's our center.
Yeah.
And that is the competitive nature that he is. He's got the talent, but he's got the work ethic to go along with it. And that's what makes him great. But yeah, like two games in, I think we're going to see a whole lot more, and they're going to find ways to get him a whole lot more involved as well.
Two games in, like you mentioned, and unfortunately we're 0-2, but in a way it doesn't feel like that because we've taken on two quality sides and we've put in two pretty strong performances as well. Is that kind of the feeling you get? It seems a bit harsh because it seems like we're only just minutes away from performing like the best teams in the competition.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it can be very deflating being in the game for that long. It's like almost like two finals games in a row. It's round one and two. But these boys know about this feeling. Like they've gone through all that stuff last year. They're hungrier than ever, so they'll come through it. And hopefully we'll get it a nice big home game this weekend and be able to pull through against the Raiders.
Before we touch on the Raiders game as well, that away support from the fans. I was watching at home through the TV. You could hear Warriors chants going up. Someone had a drum in there. It seemed like a home game. Is it cool to see that momentum from last year continue into this year? We're getting massive crowds on the road as well as at home.
It's crazy, eh? Is there any other team that gets that sort of support?
I wouldn't think so, right?
Yeah. Like, I've never seen it before. And it's cool. Like, I think everyone talks around Warriors being their second favorite team. It's cool to know that. And just having that support at your home, your away games, and to cheer you on in those moments, like that would have helped the boys against Melbourne. Unfortunately, obviously the last 30 seconds of freakiness happened, but it's cool to know that no matter where we go, there's going to be a crowd for us as well.
And like you said, sold out Christchurch, and we get that kind of round one rock concert type of vibe again because home games here are just different at the moment. We got a little glimpse of it in the preseason trials where they sold that out, but this weekend's going to be crazy, right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe round one how good that setup was, and it's a massive shout out to our back staff as well around what they're doing to create that sort of vibe. It's pretty special. I've never been a part of anything like that.
The Raiders have got off to a pretty good start, undefeated so far, off the back of some big performances in the forward pack. Is that where you see their strengths? Because many people kind of rip them off in the preseason, but they've certainly showed up ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, Raiders, man, I don't think they can ever be slept on. That forward pack is pretty special. They got Papali'i and they got Tapanay. That'll be a good battle with our boys. But then across the board as well, I think they got a good mix of experience and youth. They got a young fellow, Ethan Strange, that's playing his fourth game this weekend, but he's playing really good footy. They'll be full of confidence after two good wins to start the season. But then from our end, I think we've shown enough to know that when we put our footy on and we play to our ability or play how we want to play, we'll challenge any team in the comp. So if we can get 80 minutes on, I'm confident we can get the job done, but it's just a matter of getting that done.
And some big news out of the club this week and back end of last week as well with Freddie Lussick and Luke Metcalf extending through to 2026. We'll touch on Freddie first. A really impressive preseason by all accounts. Everyone said he was going great guns. A cool reward for him to extend for another couple of years.
Yeah, mate, it is. And Freddie's just a workhorse, mate. The things that he's doing in preseason around his fitness drills and his attention to detail, it's a credit to him that and a good reward for him to get another extension because he's a very good football player, very tough, and he won't back down to anyone. He's probably a quarter of the size of most of the boys in the middle there.
Yeah.
But anyone that knows Freddie well is like he doesn't back down to anyone, and that's what you want from your hooker when you're running out on that field next to him.
there was a rumours of a 430-ish Bronco. Is that the go? He'd be one of the, if not the fittest in the team. Is that right?
Yeah, and he was dying on the like second last lap as well. He was just pushing through that pain. I was like, oh, if that was me out there, I've quit.
By yeah, tap out, hey.
That's why I'm done. That's why I
broke up. Yeah, there we go.
Didn't want to do the Bronco.
No, fair. And then Luke Metcalf, I think this year in particular, he just looks so much more settled at the moment, in the six jersey as well. He mentioned he's put on 6 or 7 kilos, got in the weight room in the off season, going great guns to start the year.
Yeah, and the way that he played last year, because Luke hasn't played a whole lot of first grade footy, so that's all he needs at the moment. I'm sure the weights that he's added is going to help his defensively, but more so the mind.
Like
thinking that he needed that, but he's got everything he needs to be a great first grader. And that, again, same as Freddie, it's just a good reward for him because he's got freakish talent and he showed glimpses of that last year before getting injured. So to start off the season, I think he's done really well and I'm happy as for the bro.
Pretty stacked in the halves at the moment throughout the club. Is that like pretty cool to see? Obviously you're involved with the cup side, you know, each week you're gonna have some quality playmakers at the helm.
It's music to my ears having all those boys. Like, you feel for them because they are all NRL quality players, but that is the nature of the sport. It's best man's picked, and then the boys that come back trying to keep them motivated to do a job, because they, in order to get back up there, they need to be playing well for us. But it's definitely you know, pretty cool to have in my debut coaching.
Yeah,
to have, you know, the likes of Tomati, Chanel coming back. You know, we had Jazz round one for cup. So, you know, I feel for them not playing grade, but we know how the sport goes. It's constantly chopping and changing. I think last year we were struggling to find positions in NRL. So, you know, we never wish injuries upon anyone, but that's the reality of the sport. So they could be there sooner rather than later.
And just on that depth, is it cool to see so many talented young players coming through now across all positions? Like, there's 18, 19-year-old lads playing top grade and excelling.
Yeah, I've never seen this much depth in any squad that I've played in. Mm. It's pretty cool. The trouble, and it's something that you see at Penrith, is like, eventually, how do you keep them all?
Yeah.
Not my problem.
Yeah. Thankfully, right?
Not my problem. Yeah. I'm too much of a nice guy. I'll sign you all in a million. Over the salary cap, bro. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Give it to him.
Yeah. Undies. Now, but the future's bright, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's massive. And like, we haven't even, for our cup side, we haven't had Zion round one and two. Dimitrik is still injured.
Yeah.
Like, those young boys, and they're still, are they even 20? I'm not even sure that they're 20 yet. Like, crazy talent in our young boys coming through. The future definitely looks bright for the boys.
Well, cheers for jumping on, bro. It's been awesome to chew the fat with you. I know you are trying to live up to Monty's expectations, but I think you've exceeded those, bro.
No, definitely not.
You've done a bloody
job. My brother speaks too well.
But awesome to catch up, man, and no doubt we'll be looking out for you in that blue shirt role over the weeks to come.
You'll see me sprinting in the warm-up.
That's the one, bro. Legend.
Cheers, my bro. Cheers, bro.